You are listening to The Christian Commute, a commute-length podcast about Christian apologetics, theology, and other matters of Christian interest. Here is your host, Seth Dunn.
It is Wednesday, July 15th. This is The Christian Commute. I'm your host, Seth Dunn. Second shift is ending where I work, which means I'm going home. Except I'm not going home. I'm going to my neighborhood clubhouse to do some neighborhood administration for my second job. That's right, poor Seth has to work two jobs to get by. You know, some people complain, I work two jobs to get by. Like, you're blessed to have one job. You get to have two to get by? Good for you. So, obviously, one takes less time than the other. But I'm going to hand out some access cards to the pool. So, you know, I get to be like the candy man, handing out stuff that people want. You know, at work, I'm a controller. People don't want to see me. And here comes a controller. He's going to cut my budget. But there, I'm at work. Hey, you want some? Here, get into the pool. Here's some key cards. But you people want to see me, or at least listen to me, right? Otherwise, why would you download this? Why would you download this full show? Today's show title is Andy Stanley's 20%. Andy Stanley's 20%. And I have a question in the inbox about Genesis chapter 9 and Acts chapter 20. And I have questions in the hopper from Terry, Shay, Mary, and Candace. So isn't it wonderful to have a full inbox? And I have to make a little admission. If you noticed a pause in the show right there, like where there was a split second with no sound, that's because I just pulled off into an abandoned lot to read Genesis chapter 9 because I forgot to read it before I left. So anyway, now I can answer Daryl's question, if I remember what I read. And I'm going to do that after the Bible chapter review. All right, here we go. 1 John chapter 5, verses 3. I wrote down 3 through 5. I think I meant 3 through 4. But I know I'm starting at verse 3. And I'm going to start as soon as I merge over. Traffic's a little thick today. Come on, Toyota Tacoma, leave me some room. All right. Boy, the look of the Ford Escape sure has changed over the years. Anyway, sorry, rabbit trail. I don't really like the speed that this Tacoma's going. I'm going to have to go around him before I start the Bible chapter review. Oh, he's getting over. You know why he's getting over? He's an out-of-stater. He's from Tennessee. You know who are good drivers? People from Tennessee. You know who's from Tennessee? Me. Me. Oh, he's from Hamilton County. That's where I'm from. Hello, fellow Hamilton County person. Here we are in this foreign land. Strangers here. Sojourners here in Georgia. 1 John chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. Maybe 5. Who knows? Because I didn't write it down right. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. And in the subsequent verses, which I think is going to start with chapter 5, which Lord willing we'll cover tomorrow, John's going to talk more about overcoming. But for now, let's just focus on these two. This is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. That we keep His commandments. And John adds the commentary, His commandments are not burdensome. What did Jesus say? Remember? My yoke is easy and my burden is light. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Loving the brethren and obeying the commandments of the Lord, which is to love the brethren, that's not burdensome to do. What's burdensome are the world's ways. Now, if I wanted to, I could go on an eisegetical yet true. Because, listen, sometimes you can eisegete things and make a lot of true statements. And I could go on an eisegetical yet true rant right here about the world and its expectations and the religions in the world, the false religion, and all the works those religions dump upon you. You have to do to be saved. You have to work your way up to God. You got to pay some priest to do it. You got to get some kind of secret knowledge to do so. Now, really, John is dealing with Gnostics here with their secret knowledge. But he's not talking about the world's system of due religion right here, that we're saved, and contrasting it with the fact that we're saved by grace through faith. All he's saying is that the commandments of God are not burdensome. And they're not. The world will overcome you if you try to live in the world. But how do you overcome that? Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And we're children born of God, because He's adopted us. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And here, this is the victory that has overcome the world. It's our faith. That's us putting our trust in Jesus and living for Jesus. Seeking to live out the Lord's will for our life rather than live according to the world's standard. Don't forget the earlier parts of this chapter about being in the world but not of the world. We overcome the world and all that is in the world because we're born of God. It's our faith that allows us to do that. Who's given us our faith? God has. We overcome through Him. We look to God through faith, even though we haven't seen Him, like we talked about earlier in our review of John. We look to God through faith. We don't look at the world, what we do see, and act according to the world's standards. And with that, I will end the Bible chapter review. Now I'm going to go on to the inbox. Do you have a question about Christian theology and apologetics? If you do, you can write in to SethDunn88@gmail.com. This one comes from Daryl. He actually wrote in. Sometimes he calls 470-315-0875. 470-315-0875. That's the Christian Commute Roadside Assistance Line. But today he wrote in to SethDunn88@gmail.com. And if you want to send me a question about theology or apologetics, you can send it there. Tell me where you're from. Give me your name, and keep it short enough for me to memorize. Daryl's question is kind of vague, and it has a presupposition. But he says in Genesis 9, God makes all things clean. And then in Acts 10, God makes all things clean. And he says, can you contrast that? First, let's deal with what I didn't do. I did not read before I left the building Acts chapter 10. In fact, my sticky note says Peter chapter 10, which is not a book. There's no Peter 10. There's 1 Peter and 2 Peter, but I don't know if either of them go to 10 chapters. But what I think Daryl is referring to is when Peter has his vision in Acts of the big sheep full of animals, and God says, Peter, take, kill, eat. And Peter says, no, I've never eaten anything that's unclean. And God says, I've made everything clean. I'm going to assume that's Acts chapter 10 without looking it up. All right. Now, what is Genesis chapter 9? This is what I read a minute ago in the abandoned lot. So with all of you who are looking for these well-researched answers, keep in mind that I may read the Bible really quickly in an abandoned lot for 30 seconds and then answer your very important theological question. Hey, I'm doing this in a car. So in Genesis chapter 9, the flood is over. So Noah and his family have hit land and they're getting back off the boat. God has just wiped out the world except for Noah and those animals he preserved on the ark. And he tells Noah earlier in the chapter 9, everything for you, all the beasts of you are going to have, all the beasts of the field and the fish and the fowl of the air will have fear of you, because they're for you for meat. You could eat them. And he says, just don't eat of the blood. In other words, what we call keeping kosher. Do you guys ever hear of kosher meat? That's meat that's killed where the blood is drained out, so you don't have any blood in the meat. That's kosher. That's what God was telling Abraham there. Don't eat any meat with the lifeblood still in it. And there's a point being made about lifeblood. And you go to the next verse, and it's talking about whoever sheds a man's blood, by man will his blood be shed. In other words, don't kill people that's shedding their blood. And if you do, you'll be punished in the same way. And remember, God just wiped out all the wicked people, because before the flood, God was sad that he ever made man upon the earth, because the thoughts of their heart were wicked at every turn. Right? So, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And that's why Noah was saved on the ark. So here's the thing. What Daryl has said is God made all things clean in Genesis 9. Daryl, and you guys can pause Genesis 9 and read it if you want to. Daryl, I think your presupposition there is wrong. I read the good old KJV and the Abandoned Lot. I didn't see clean. I didn't say the word clean. Because when we're talking about clean and unclean, we're talking about ceremonial things. The ceremonial law. Just like a person could be ceremonially unclean. Meat, like pork or shrimp, for example, is unclean in the Jewish theocracy. So I want to put it this way, Daryl. God hasn't made things unclean yet through his Sinaitic proclamations. We don't get in the Bible that all of these things are unclean, like you can eat beef but not pork and stuff like that. We don't get that here in early in Genesis. We don't get that until after the exodus from Egypt. And Moses gets the law from the mountain. And these aren't what we call moral laws. They're ceremonial laws about what is clean and unclean in the camp of Israel. So you can't use that language about clean and unclean to talk about Genesis chapter 9 and then also use it in Acts chapter 10. Now by the time we get to Acts chapter 10, Peter is a Jew who's been keeping the ceremonial law his whole life and eating this Jewish diet. And God is saying through this vision, Peter, take, kill, and eat. And by the way, there's a broader prophetic meaning to this vision. It's not just that it's okay to eat pork barbecue now, praise the Lord. It's that God came Jesus came for the Gentiles too. Because Peter's going to go witness to Cornelius and go to his house and see that the Holy Spirit's falling upon the Gentiles. So, broadly speaking, what God is communicating to Peter through this vision is about more than animals and what you can eat and not eat. He's saying, I'm making the Gentiles clean. Because the Gentiles used to be unclean and unholy people. That's what makes them Gentiles. They're not Jewish. And when you look at all of these laws in the Old Testament, there are laws meant to separate God's people, the Jews, from the Gentiles. But now the Gentiles are being grafted in. And it goes beyond food, Daryl. It's about clothing. Don't wear clothing of mixed fiber. That's a rule in Leviticus. Like, what? Why can't I wear clothing of mixed fiber? Because you're not supposed to mix with the Gentiles. The Gentiles eat pork. You don't eat pork. The Gentiles eat shrimp. You don't eat shrimp. The Gentiles eat a young goat boiled in its mother milk. You don't do that. Don't be like them. You're different. You're set apart for something. But what Peter is saying, or what God is saying to Peter, is, Peter, you're no longer set apart from the Gentiles in that they're unclean. They can receive the Holy Spirit too. Now they're a part of the people of God. And Jesus had already said, it's not what you put into your body that makes you unclean. It's what comes out of your heart that makes you unclean. We see that in the Gospels. So when we're talking about that cleanliness, we're talking about the ceremonial law. We don't have that in Genesis chapter 9. That's not in view. What God is talking about here is dominion to Moses. And remember, this is a remaking of the world. It's almost, but not quite, like a second creation. So there's the first creation of Edenic paradise, and Adam has dominion. And there's no death. And then it gets ruined at the fall. And it gets so bad, God kills everybody and everything except what's on that ark. So he's remaking the earth. It's radically changed. And now we have another dominion mandate. And he's saying, Noah, you have dominion all over these animals. Death is in the background here. There's animal death and human death now because you have the fall. And he's saying, Noah, you can eat these animals. Fish, no, bipeds and quadrupeds. I don't know what you call them. Fish and the beasts of the field. And then fowl. So you can eat chicken, beef, and fish. You get down to the ceremonial law. You say, well, you can eat birds. You can eat chicken, but not all birds. You can't eat a scavenger bird. Some birds are unclean. Like, you can eat beasts of the field. You can eat an ox. You can eat a cow. But you can't eat a pig. It's the, what is it, the cloven hoof. And then there is, can you eat a horse? I guess you can eat a horse. I wouldn't want to. I don't know if they did. And then you get to the fish. You can eat a trout. I don't know if they have trout in the Middle East. You can eat a trout, but you can't eat a shrimp. So there's delineation there. But other people are eating those things. They had no problem eating those things. So, Daryl, your categories are messed up. The question doesn't make any sense. Maybe that's what you meant by, can I contrast that? But I hope I've given you some insight there, Daryl. But when it comes down to it, you made a connection that's not there. I wonder if somebody else has made that connection to you and you're trying to explain it. I don't know. By the way, guys, always be as specific as possible with your question. Don't leave me open-ended questions on the Christian Commute. But please send them in, because the show's terrible without them. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to beg you for questions when I run out. And then when you send them in, I'm going to complain at you and say, well, you didn't do it right. This question doesn't meet my specifications. All right, now let's talk about Andy Stanley's 20%. And this is a bit like shooting a dead body when we say something bad about Andy Stanley. Or when we criticize Andy Stanley. It's like if they found a body, a dead body in California, and they said, oh, this person was murdered by the Manson family. We're going to try Charles Manson for murder. Let's talk about how bad he is as a murderer. Like, no, we already know he's a bad murderer. Because he's been in jail all these years for a bunch of murders. What's one more murder? We have demonstrated that Charles Manson is deplorable and awful and a murderer. It's like that with Andy Stanley. That Andy Stanley has said one more awful thing or done one more awful thing, what do we expect? It's Andy Stanley. So I don't want to pile on. I wouldn't even have this show topic if it wasn't for what I was talking about yesterday about goat poaching in this historic pandemic and how, in a way, this pandemic has been good because it shut down terrible churches. I saw published in Christianity Today, so today I saw an article published in Christianity Today, which Jordan Hall has always called Christianity Astray. Because it has gone towards the liberalism. You know, it's a long, I guess it's, I wouldn't use it as a barometer of biblical Christianity. I would use it as a barometer of cultural Christianity. So here we have Ed Stetzer and Andy Stanley in this article. It's also a podcast. So Ed Stetzer, Mr. Church Growth Guru, who works at Wheaton now, used to work for Lifeway, is interviewing Andy Stanley. So, It's one of those things. If Andy Stanley and Ed Stetzer were hanging off a cliff and I could only save one, even though Ed Stetzer weighs more than Andy Stanley, they'd hit the ground at the same time because objects, no matter their weight, fall at 9.8 meters per second squared. So, in other words, two horribly awful public figures of the visible church and industrial Christianity. And it is making big news because people think Andy Stanley's church is representative of Christianity, that his church and churches, North Point Ministries, they're going to be shut down for the rest of the year. They're not meeting. And Andy Stanley was talking to Ed Stetzer, and you know, I'm not quoting him, I'm paraphrasing here. I will tell you an exact quote in a minute. Well, you know, Ed, we were meeting, and we were deciding when do we open back up, and you know, they kept pushing the school schedule back, and we were putting a lot of thought into it, and we just said, you know what, we're not going to meet for the rest of the year. And here's one thing he said. He said, we don't want to go to all the work of getting a church service together for the 20% of the people who would come. And then what we've done is create a subpar environment. A subpar environment. Now, what is a subpar church environment? Well, in Andy Stanley's world, it doesn't have all the bells and whistles. It doesn't have all the professional musicians and light show and volunteers and red carpet experience that he tries to make. His big thing, he's written books about it, is creating quote-unquote irresistible environments. So under COVID and with all the restrictions, he can't create an irresistible environment. Now let me contrast that with what's going to happen Sunday, Lord willing, if I get to go to church. So I have to make a reservation Friday so they know how many people are going to come for the 9 o'clock service and the 11 o'clock service. This is at First Baptist Cartersville. And then what they're going to do is they're going to have rows. At First Baptist, they don't have pews. They have rows of chairs. And they're going to say, you can sit here, and then one row's empty, and the next people can sit here, and then one row's empty, and the next people can sit here. There's not going to be a choir. I do think there'll be three or four people on the praise team or whatever they call it. You know, I think you'll have the drummer, the guitar guy, and two or three people singing. But there's not going to be a choir. There's not going to be the child care like they usually have. I bet they don't have the valet service. They have valet service for old people and people like me with a bunch of kids. I bet they don't have a lot of this stuff. They might not even have the mints that are on the visitor's desk. It's going to be abnormal. But you know what? They're going to have church for whoever can show up and have church. And they're probably not going to run the numbers they normally run. But here's what Andy Stanley's saying. And let's just, I don't know how many people are members of his church or show up on a given day. But let's say 5,000 because it's a mega church. All right? What's 20% of 5,000? 1,000. If only 1,000 people who want to meet on the Lord's day want to show up for church, you know, we can't do all the bells and whistles. We're not going to put all the time and effort in for these 1,000 people, for these 20%. Now, there's a temptation to read that and think of the little old ladies in our lives who take two trips a week, one to the grocery store and one to church, and that's what they do, and they're too frail to get out, but they're going to go to the grocery store, and they're going to go to church and worship God and see all their brothers and sisters in Christ. And now these little old ladies don't get to go to church because of Andy Stanley. Listen, he ain't got any little old ladies like that. He's got a bunch of goats. They don't care. And he's about right. It's probably a high estimation. If there's 20% of people at his church that are regenerate, I'll be shocked. If there's 21, I'll eat my shoe. Okay, so the people who want to come to church because it matters to them, forget them. It's not worth all our time and effort to put on our dog and pony show. He doesn't care. It's about the bottom line. That's North Point Ministries. That's Andy Stanley. That's who a bunch of people all over the place look to as a guru. Who endorsed his book besides Charles Stanley? Ugh. Stephen Furtick. Perry Noble. Bill Hybels. And I think Rick Warren. The Rogues Gallery. So remember the people I talked about yesterday? Who you need to goat poach because their church isn't meeting? That's who they look to. Andy Stanley, or the generic four-stripe Adidas Andy Stanley who tries to make his church like that. So someone like me, and hopefully someone like you, looks at a church that's got 100 people in it and says, well, you know, only 20 people are able to show up because of COVID. Thank God for those 20 people. They love Jesus. They want to show up to church. And, you know, they might not have a full people for a choir, and maybe they just have one piano player, not even somebody for the organ, and you know, there's just not a lot of people there, and you know, the offering barely pays for the light bill or the turning on the air condition. And we think how wonderful. Andy Stanley thinks, well, you know, if 20% of people come, I'm going to have to turn the air conditioner on the whole building. I won't be able to have my professional bands and light show. You know, it's just not going to be the North Point experience. Him and Ed Stetzer are going to bust hell wide open when they die, I believe. I never met either of them, but that's what I believe about them. Boy, if I was interviewing him and I was Ed Stetzer, you better believe I would have rebuked him. But Ed Stetzer doesn't. These guys fawn all over each other, these celebrities. In some way, COVID has been a blessing because God has used it to shut down these goat churches. And maybe people will think, hey, let me go somewhere else. So let me reiterate to you again. This is how awful the churches I'm talking about are. Again, not to pile on Andy Stanley. It's like if you catch a pedophile with a fourth dead kid in his basement. All right, you already found three dead kids. We know he's awful. But this guy, man, he's the one selling books. He's the one people want to be like. Why? Because he has numbers. He's got numbers. You tell me Andy Stanley and then tell me about a number, I want to say 666. I'm not saying he's the beast. I'm just being hyperbolic. But man, guys, pay attention. How did it happen? Andy Stanley came from Charles Stanley's church. That's that guy that we all grew up watching on Sunday morning before we went to our church. That guy, In Touch Ministries. That's where Andy Stanley came from. What happened? And could it happen to your church? It has happened in towns all over the place, like I talked about yesterday with Cross Point, Power Point, Soul Point, you know, Match Point, whatever you want to call these churches. Point with an E and a bumper sticker on the back. Guys, get out there and try to witness to these people. Don't just think, oh, they're saved. And good grief, don't partner with their churches in any way. I mean, golly. I'd rather sit beside the devil than Andy Stanley in church, quite frankly. Thanks for listening to The Christian Commute. Lord willing, I'll be back with you again tomorrow. As always, God bless. And as always, remember, Christianity is not about getting saved. It's about being saved.
Thanks for listening to The Christian Commute. Please send your questions about Christian apologetics and theology to sethdunn88@gmail.com. If you are not a Christian, please remember that you can be reconciled to God through the shed blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches that all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Repent of your sins now and accept Jesus as Lord. God bless.